Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Voice of Truth is very pleased to bring you another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. We encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. Again, that email address is creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice is that of Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14-plus years on the road full-time, traveling with his wife Dana, and now with their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. As mentioned, this is a continuation of a prior portion of the series, so we'll be picking up with Steve in mid-sentence, so to speak, but you'll quickly catch on to what is being said. Let's roll the tape.
The Bible says his house burned. You know, he's sitting in the ashes of his house burned up. He lost his family, all 10 kids, they're dead. I mean, in the first two chapters, he loses everything, you know. Well, folks, that's a very important point, because let me ask you a question. If you lost literally everything, would you still serve the Lord? You know, all too often in this country, when we have everything, we don't even serve the Lord. And as soon as something goes wrong, we bail out on God. We get upset, you know, we get discouraged or whatever the case may be. Job lost his wealth. He lost his health. The Bible says he's sitting in the ashes of his burned out house with a broken piece of pottery, scraping the pus out of the boils that cover his body from head to toe. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his possessions. He lost his family. He lost everything. Everything he had, he lost everything. Well, folks, that's powerful. That's incredible when you stop and consider. His wife said, you need to curse God and die. He's scraping the pus out of these boils. And then his buddies come along to help him. Their buddies are always there, aren't they? You know, oh, Bildad, Eliphaz, Zophar, and Elihu come to help him along with his issues, you know. And it was a lot of the same way things go today. Well, I see God is punishing you for something. Oh, you must be really bad here lately because something, God is upset with you. I mean, folks, if something bad is happening to somebody, we should love them and pray for them and encourage them and pray with them and so on and so forth. But look, unless they ask specifically for some wise counsel and all that kind of stuff, we need to, you know, leave it alone, you know. That's between that person and God, whatever the case is going on there. But nevertheless, boy, people, still today, nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. And still today, people are right there. But anyway, then they're just hammering him for 35 chapters. And then finally in chapter number 38, then he's crying out to God, why, God, why? What's going on here? Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? God says, hey, Job, your buddies, they don't know what they're talking about, okay? He says, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? With a question. Folks, look at this now. Job lost everything. He lost everything he had. His buddies are tormenting him, hammering him for 35 chapters. Finally, God comes to him and answers his cries. Why, God, why? He comes to him and asks him a question. Job, where were you when I hung the earth? Yeah. Job wasn't there. God knew that. Job knew that. Why did God ask Job a question like that? Everybody knows the answer. Folks, God just wanted to sort of remind Job who's in charge here. See, God's always in charge. All this stuff is peripheral stuff, you know? Anyway, then he goes on, he keeps on asking him. The next four chapters, God asked Job 84 questions back to back. 84 questions. Not a single one of them got an answer. Not a single one of them need an answer. 84 questions. Job, question, 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 question. Hast thou entered the springs of the sea? No, Job did not enter the springs of the sea. God knew that. Job knew that. Everybody knew that. You know, springs of the sea are one of those interesting things that, you know, the evolutionists only about 45 years ago or so, 50 years ago, found out on this planet, everybody finally found out that there were springs of the sea. That's one of those things that the Bible talks about thousands of years ago. Folks, again, God knows what's here. God knows what's here. There's no question about it. Anyway, it says, canst thou send the lightnings? No, Job can't send lightning. Again, God knew it. Job knew it. 84 questions in the next four chapters, over and over and over. God is reminding Job who's in charge. And finally, Job chapter 40. In verse number 15, God says, Job, behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. Wait a minute. What is a behemoth? Anyway, now remember the context of what's going on here. God is talking to Job, and he says, Job, behold. To behold something is to feast your eyes on this thing. You can see this thing. Behold now Behemoth. Now, a lot of times, Bibles in the center reference commentary section or whatever will say this is an elephant or a hippopotamus. I don't know. I don't think it's either one of those. I think there's a good chance that the Behemoth is the big long-necked dinosaur. The big Brachiosaurus, probably. But anyway, by the way, when I took this picture right here, this guy, he was not speeding. Okay? Could take a picture and it wouldn't blur. But that's why our logo used to be anyway. We used to have t-shirts and such back several years ago. Behold now Behemoth. That's why I have it all over on our stuff anyhow. But look at that. Now let's take a look at the qualifications of Behemoth. Now, verse number 15. Behold now Behemoth, which I have made with thee. Now can you imagine God, the context of what's going on. And then God says, Job, behold now Behemoth. And Job says, behold Behemoth. He knows what it is, you know. And he's like, well, where can I find one of those? You know, he could feast his eyes on this thing, folks. That's a very important point because it says he made him with him. He eateth grass as an ox. And people say, well, you know, a hippo is a plant eater. And that's true. An elephant is a plant eater. And that's true. But the big long neck, this guy was a plant eater. So we still don't know anything. Lo now, his strength is in his loins and his force is in the navel of his belly. This guy has a big belly. And people say, well, the hippo, he's got a big belly, you know, big barrel belly thing. That's true. But the elephant, he's got a big belly too. But these big long-necked dinosaurs, they had a big belly also. So we still don't know anything based on the qualifications here. It still could be any one of the three so far. So anyway, the next verse. By the way, folks, there's something to keep in mind. If big belly were the only qualification, there are a lot of people that would fit there too, you know. Kind of keep that in mind, you know. But anyway, verse number 17 says, he moveth his tail like a cedar. Now, wait just a second. Have you ever seen a hippo tail? is that going to remind us of anything spectacular? Hey, how about an elephant tail? No. Hey, how about the big long-necked tail? Now, these guys, that could certainly qualify as a big long cedar. That word that's used there, that cedar, is a tree sort of akin to our redwoods. Folks, this is no simple little tree. This is a major, major thing here, you know? And this is what God is making the comparison to this guy. Well, it rules out a hippo, and that rules out an elephant right off the bat. This is something much more awesome than even those guys, that's for sure. Next verse, it says, his bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. This guy's got big bones. Well, now, hang on just a second. There's a place in Texas where there are all sorts of dinosaur footprints all over. Down in Glen Rose, Texas area, this one down in Texas, Brachiosaurus footprint, holds 18 gallons of water. Folks, these guys had big feet. They had big bones. They had big feet like that because they had big legs. Here's a foot bone. This is the left front leg, the second in front foot bone. This bone right here of a baby Brachiosaurus. These guys were huge. Now, they had big feet like that because they had big legs. Here's a guy standing next to the front leg on one of these guys, 20 feet tall, these front legs. These guys were enormous creatures. These guys were big, awesome, powerful creatures, no question. The tallest one, they were about 50 feet. Their head was about 50 feet off the ground, about as tall as a five-story building these guys were. Now, if they would have been just a little bit bigger and their head would have been a little bit taller, maybe 60 feet, that would be as tall as a six-story building then. But that'd be another story. That'd be another story, so we don't worry about that stuff. But anyhow, so we still don't know anything, but the biggest one's about the size of a five-story building. Gigantic animals. The average weight of these guys, these things weigh around 100 tons. A school bus, depending on who's driving it, how it's loaded and everything, a school bus will weigh 6 or 7 tons. Folks, we're talking gigantic animals. Some of these things, anywhere from 10, 12, 14 school buses, fully loaded, packed on top of each other, these things, depending on how much is in them. But the point is, these guys were big. Which, by the way, if you think about it, if you were walking along out there in the woods somewhere, and he comes by and steps on you, hey, you would no doubt be deeply impressed by him. You know. So, anyhow, We still don't know anything yet on the qualifications, but we're getting closer. It says here, he is the chief of the ways of God. Hey folks, this guy's the chief. This is the big guy. Remember the context of what's going on. Job is a godly, wealthy, righteous, straight up, top notch kind of guy. And he is getting hammered after he loses everything. He's getting hammered for 35 chapters. Finally, God comes to him, asks him 84 questions. Not a single one needs an answer. And he doesn't answer this thing. Where were you when I hung the foundation of the earth and hung this place and put the springs in the sea and send the light? Can you send that? Can you do that, Job? What about those constellations? What all this kind of stuff is going on. He's going to show him something really, really awesome here. Folks, this is the big guy. This is God's pride and joy right here. This guy right here. You can count on it, you know. But nevertheless, behold now Behemoth. Again, remember it says, which I made with thee. That's interesting. But also, now think about it. The dinosaur issue. Folks, this dinosaur issue has been around for a long time. And it's going to be around for a long time. The devil is having a field day with the dinosaurs. I go into public schools all over the country, and I had... like K through fifth graders especially, sometimes I would line up an 8-foot table full of dinosaurs. I mean, just full of them. And I would always ask these kids. Now, I've had as few as just a handful, 10 or 12 K through fifth graders. I've had as many as 650 K through fifth graders. If you've never been in a room with 650 K through fifth graders, you don't know what you've missed, you know. That is a ride. But I mean, I have an eight-foot table laid out with dinosaurs all over it. And I'll ask these guys, who recognizes one of the dinosaurs? Boy, the hands go up everywhere. The kids know they're dinosaurs, no questions about it. And then I ask them about these dinosaurs. Tell me about what you know about the T-Rex. Tell me what you know about the whatever it is, whatever the case may be. And you know what, folks? They know that they know their dinosaur issue from an evolutionist perspective in a big way. But almost none of them know the dinosaur issue from what the Bible says. The devil's having a field day. He's done it with many things. The stars. Do you know that the Bible talks about the stars? It talks about the stars in Genesis. It talks about them in Amos and Psalms and Job. God mentions some constellations. God mentions all. God is not opposed to the stars. God set those stars right where He want them. That word set that's used there is the same word that a jeweler would use to set a diamond in a ring or in a brooch or an earring or a necklace or something, or even just on a cloth for you to look at. Well, that jeweler doesn't stand back and just kind of toss them, hope some kind of hang around. He sets them where He wants them. That's the same word that's used there in Genesis. God set those stars. He knows the name. He knows the numbers of them and all that kind of stuff. He's not opposed to the stars. He is opposed to the worship of the stars. See, folks, the devil has taken the truth of what God says, twisted it up just a little bit, remanipulated a little bit, refabricated a little bit, and then get a whole bunch of people to believe his way. And we need to be on guard for that. That's what he's done with these guys. Everything was made at the same time, 6-day creation. It's not a problem. But we get so bombarded by this millions of years old issue. Look at this thing. Ad in a magazine says here, talking about Wyoming. It talks about 50 million year old fish. Now, anybody can believe a fish is 50 million years old, this fossil is 50 million years old if they want to, but that is just a belief system. But they put this stuff in these publications that we get so used to hearing it and seeing it that people think it's true. How about this place in New Mexico, Carlsbad Caverns, 250 million years ago, they say there. Hey, how about this one? The Bible says that everything was made in 6 days. Do you know God wrote in stone with His own fingers right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. God made everything in 6-day time frame. There's no way around that. God wrote that in stone with His own finger, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. So what are we going to believe? Are we going to believe what God says, or are we going to believe what man has come up with as an alternative to what God says? Now, I'm going to believe thus saith the Lord, that's for sure. Anyway, how about this one here? An ad for Australia. Look what it says. The only place in the world where a day trip will take you back 3 billion years. What does that even mean? We were doing a seminar one time down in Georgia, and this guy, I think it was Georgia. Anyway, this guy, he's from Australia. I think it was his brother. I may have the story a little mixed up, but his brother, I think, went to the church there, and they were visiting him. They were just visiting. They're from Australia. So anyway, I grabbed the magazine after tonight, and I showed it to him, and I gave it to him. I said, look, you're from Australia. Maybe you can answer this. What does this mean? A day trip will take you back 3 billion years. I cannot even understand what that's trying to say. What does that mean? And this guy, here's what he did. He looks at the magazine, and he's sort of frowning at it, and he's looking, he's thinking, you know, he's studying, and he just sits down. So I just went off and was talking to some other people, just doing some things and, you know, piddling around a little bit. And next thing you know, I go back to this guy, a few minutes go by, and I said, well, did you figure it out? What does that mean? And this guy's looking at this, and he says, I haven't got a clue, mate. I said, well, I haven't got a clue either. You know, I don't know. Folks, the point is this. It doesn't mean anything. But plant that seed and keep watering that seed and just keep nourishing that seed and putting, you know, and people grow up and they tend to believe that stuff because they see it everywhere. But that doesn't mean it's true. If it violates what God says, it's not true. Look at this thing. This is funny. Hey, man, I'm so confused. I don't know whether I'm my brother's keeper or my keeper's brother. I like that, you know. Actually, I like this sentence right here a lot. Be as willing to believe the Bible by faith as you are to believe your science textbook without proof. I like that a lot, folks. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I just can't believe the Bible. Well, look, people are believing these things and they've got zero proof in them as far as the evolution is concerned. Now, there are a lot of good things in some textbooks. Don't misunderstand me. But we're going to talk a lot about the good and the bad as the rest of the sessions go on and all. But the fact of the matter is, if we're going to believe something in those books, in those textbooks, over what thus saith the Lord says, especially when he says something contrary to what's in those books, folks, we better be careful. We better be on guard. Thy word is truth, not that other stuff. But anyway, the Bible says here, verse number 20, surely the mountains bringeth forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fens. And the fens means the swamp. The Bible says this thing lives in the swamp, and the shady trees cover him with their shadows, the willows of the brook compass about him. Remember this next verse for a little bit. Behold, he drinketh up a river. The Bible says this thing likes the swamp, and he can drink up a river. He could stop a river. Keep that in mind for just a few minutes. But the behemoth lives in the swamp. And, well, it just so happens there are some pretty good-sized swamps in the world today. And we're going to look at some of that. But, hey, before we do, and as we do, or just before we do, rather, does anybody know what this is? There was a pastor that gave us this thing. We were up actually in New Hampshire, and he gives me this thing. He says, Steve, do you know what this is? And I looked at it, you know, I had it in my hand. I said, well, it's a deer knob. It's a doorknob. He looked at me and smiled. He said, no, Steve, look close. That's a dough knob. A dough knob. I kind of went, oh, please. He said, well, you're from Texas, ain't you? You know? So, yeah, but we don't all talk like that. You know, come on, you know. That's a dough knob. So, anybody ever ask if you've ever seen a dough knob? Now you can say yes, you know. We used to carry that thing around with us. Hey, you know the dinosaur experts in town? It's McDonald's. You may not know that, but they're the experts. You know, you get indoctrinated with this idea, their belief system, absolutely everywhere. Even at McDonald's, a Happy Meal. We got a Happy Meal. This is back several years ago, and in the Happy Meal, there's a little placemat thing that comes out, and right here it says, Dinomite. Dinosaurs used to roam here, but they became extinct over 65 million years ago. I mean, you can't even eat a Happy Meal hamburger thing without getting some kind of dinosaur indoctrination. And they're not the only one. How about Subway, kids packs, and dinosaurs and millions of years ago? How about Cinnamon Toast Crunch and dinosaurs and millions of years ago? How about Burger King? Look at this thing, 100 million years BBK before Burger King. I mean, you get it everywhere, folks, and there's just big problems with all this kind of stuff. But everybody gets so used to seeing it and hearing it in that context, they tend to think that it's true. And as a nation, we have strayed so far away from what God says, people don't even know how to defend otherwise. They don't know how to defend what God says about various things all too often. How about this one? Dinosaur facts. You know, this is a little restaurant, a little placemat here. The last dinosaurs lived about 65 million years ago. It's everywhere, all over the place, all the time. And people get used to seeing it and they think it's true. How about RV View magazine? You can't even get an RV magazine without getting some sort of evolutionary indoctrination. Look at this, the evolution of a do-it-yourselfer, they say. Have you ever noticed how, start watching for this, if you haven't paid attention to it yet, you'll really notice it now. Everything evolved. Now think about it. You listen to radio commercials or whatever, just in the newspapers and such, even billboards, you know, the Schick Razor evolved, the Audi evolved, the Mitsubishi evolved. They say computers are evolving. All sorts of different products even have evolution as part of their name a lot of times these days. Everybody is so used to that stuff. It's ridiculous, but that's what's happening all over the country. The media copy machines evolved. I mean, everything. Start watching for that. You're going to start noticing it big time. Rush talks about societal evolution, you know? I mean, it's just everywhere. Anyway, the Bible says this guy lives in the swamp. There are some pretty good-sized swamps in the world. The Lickowalla Swamp in the Congo in Africa is by far the largest, 55,000 square miles. The whole state of Arkansas is about 53,000 square miles. Give you some idea. Can you imagine a swamp bigger than the state of Arkansas? Let me give you an example of something. We have a little camp up in northern New Hampshire, a little cabin. And it was several years ago, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago, I guess, there was a jet in, it was Christmas Eve, a jet shooting an approach into Lebanon, New Hampshire, and it was snowy, it was real bad weather, and he missed the approach, it just wasn't right, so he's going around, right? And on the way around, he's on radar with Boston, there's a little bleep on the radar scope there, you know, and they know exactly where that thing is, and it crashed. Now, they know where that thing is within about a 10-mile circle, roughly. And do you know that they launched a search party immediately? And it went for weeks. It turned into a couple of few months, and then over a year, and then 2 years. Everybody sort of abandons it. The family never gives up, and everybody's searching. It took about 3 years. Finally, somebody hunting accidentally stumbled across the wreckage. And it got to be where before that time they were saying, no, these guys, they just snuck down under the radar and went up into Canada or something like that. Now, folks, just think about this for a minute. Here's this airplane that goes down. Everybody knows within about a 10-mile circle where roughly it is, and it's not moving around, and nobody can find it. And New Hampshire is about 8,000 square miles. That's all. Well, what if you're a critter? You've got all of your senses intact. You want to be left alone, and you can roam around, you can hide, you can do things like that, and you've got 55,000 square miles to get around in. It might very well be possible that nobody ever gets a good eyeball on you, you know? That's all. It's no big problem. But anyway, there are big swamps all over the world. In fact, even in this country, respected publications and such used to do articles about dinosaurs even in the middle 1900s even. There are many accounts of people knowing about these things and seeing them and so on and so forth. But we've just gotten so far away from that. How about this one? This is in Boston. The Boston Herald in June of 99 talking about these dinosaurs that live in the swamps in Africa. And look what the name of the thing is Mokile Membe. But notice what it says. His name translates into one that stops the flow of rivers. Remember that verse I told you to just kind of keep in the back of your mind for a few minutes? One that stops the flow of rivers. Now, folks, let's just think about this for a minute. These locals, these native pygmy groups and tribes of people out in Africa, in the swamps in Africa, named this critter the same thing that the Bible says it likes to do. I mean, that it does. That's just kind of an interesting thing when you think about it. But anyway, many accounts of people who have seen these long-necked dinosaurs, even still out in the swamps in Africa. This guy right here, Dr. Roy Mackle, he is a staunch evolutionist. He's at the University of Chicago. He's a microbiologist. He is a staunch evolutionist. He has spent millions of dollars of his own money going into the swamps in search of Mokile Membe. He is absolutely convinced, even as an evolutionist, that these guys are still alive today. And I think, how can somebody that believes in evolution believe a dinosaur like this is still alive today? But folks, the fact of the matter is, the heavy hitters of evolution are totally in a different state of mind and whatnot in what it is they truly believe and what it is they publish for the general public to learn from. We're going to see lots of examples of that. All too often, they don't agree with themselves, they argue amongst themselves, and they just, anything but God will do is what it boils down to. And all too often, that's just the truth of the matter. And on a dinosaur issue, maybe that's just a little nothing issue to some people. But I'll tell you what, folks, some of the things that are in some of these textbooks, it's sobering, some of the things that are being taught to our kids that just violate what God says. But anyway, he went out there to these swamps, and he took a bunch of picture books, pages with him, you know, and some of them were photographs, some of them were drawings of various animals. He would go and interview the local groups of people and whatnot. And he'd say, you know, do you have this thing? And he'd show them an elephant. They say, yeah. They show him a rhino. He said, yeah, we've got that. He showed him a grizzly bear, and they said, whoa, what is that? Now, folks, because they have never seen a grizzly bear in the swamps in Africa, that does not mean the grizzly bear don't exist. That just means they don't exist there. That's all. Well, what if they've got animals there that are normal to them that we don't see about? We don't see and hear. That doesn't mean they don't exist. That just means they don't exist here. That's all. That's the only difference. Anyway, he showed him a crocodile. He said, well, yeah, we've got those things. They said, well, how big are the ones you have? They stepped it off, and it was about a 50-footer. Now, 50-foot crocodile. Folks, now, come on, that's a good-sized animal. You know, something about the crocodiles, and there's some big ones even alive in this country even still today. But the reptiles, all reptiles in general, doesn't matter what they are, reptiles never stop growing. They never stop growing. Well, you just put a reptile, you put an animal in a conducive environment where he's going to live a healthy life, for a long time, longevity of life, he's going to get pretty big. He grows every day of his life. A reptile has an advantage over just about everything else in the fact that they grow every day of their life. You put them back in a pre-flood world and let them live for 600 years, how big are they going to get then? See, folks, the fact of the matter is the mechanism to account for the finds that are found out there are in the Bible. It's very clear. Things are living hundreds of years, and we'll get into that in another session. But anyway, he showed him this picture. He drew it, and he showed him this thing, and I said, yeah, that's Smoky Limimbe. We've got that one. It was no big deal. Well, again, just because it's a big deal for us, they've never gone to the universities here to learn that evolution says that dinosaurs died millions and millions of years ago. All they know is, don't know anything about that. All I know is that he lives out there. He's not as big as they used to be, as the bones that are found. These guys are about the size of a hippo. They have about a 30-foot length, tip to tip, you know, long neck and long tail. About the body like a hippo, that's all. But they're a lot smaller. Everything is smaller today than it was in a pre-flood world, so that's no big deal. But the point is, it's no big thing to them. They know its favorite food is the Malumbo berry, the Malumbo plants. They see areas where he's bedded down for the night. There are all sorts of examples of people who have seen these things. In fact, there's a missionary, Gene Thomas. He's a retired missionary now. He was out in the swamps in Africa for over 40 years, and he said, I personally have never seen a Moki Limimbe. I've never seen one myself, but a lot of people in the churches that he established, they definitely saw him. In fact, one of the guys that's in one of the churches, his dad is one of the guys that helped kill one of these things. And everybody that ate the meat died, so they just leave them alone. They leave the thing alone, whether it's just superstition now or whether it was really bad meat or whether maybe it was something else that killed them. But everybody that ate part of that animal died, so they just leave them alone. And so they don't try to catch them and use them as pets or whatever. They just leave them alone, you know, to totally leave them out. But it's not just the Apatosaurus, not just the long neck. It's all sorts of these guys, literally all over the world. How about these things? How about snakes, just big giant snakes? A 130-foot snake with a diameter of 15 feet in Peru. Now, can you just imagine a 15-foot diameter something slithering through the... That's a good-sized creature, you know? I mean, what are we going to do? There are still some big ones like that around, even in all sorts of parts of the world, not just in the swamps in Africa, in Peru, but in Papua New Guinea. They're found a lot of different places these kind of things are found. Here's one. They found this... they caught this thing, has this big something in it, obviously. So he sliced the thing open, and there was somebody in it. I mean, just all sorts of examples. In fact, we were doing a seminar in Pennsylvania, and we were over at this family's house. We're just going to do some hiking and just piddling around with them. And we were standing there in the living room of the house. And the daughter says, hang on just a minute. And she goes in, we were just talking about this stuff. And she went into the kitchen where the phone was. She dials the phone and she says, hey, Mom, do you still have that picture of the snake? And apparently her mother said, no. I mean, we're just hearing one end of the conversation, you know. And she said, no, you know, the other family, they were missionary family into Africa. And they were out there, and they, same kind of thing. There was this big giant snake that she said it was about an 80-footer that had this thing in it, and there was somebody in it. And they sliced it open, and there was somebody in that thing. And they took pictures of it, but the other family that was out with them actually had possession of the pictures. They didn't have them themselves. But I mean, there are just many accounts of the same kind of thing, even still today happening. How about the plesiosaur? If there is such a thing as the Loch Ness Monster, that's all it is. The plesiosaur, the elasmosaur, one of these kind of things. Which again, by the way, while it's on my mind, the word dinosaur means terrible lizard. That is a big problem for evolutionists. Because there is evidence they have found now where they have found hearts turned to stone, fossilized hearts, which we'll get into that in another session, which is an amazing thing. It verifies it was a quick event, not a long-term thing, because animals rot away. They're not going to lay there for millions of years and slowly turn to stone, especially something as delicate as the internal organs and such. But it's a four-chambered heart. Well, if something has a four-chambered heart on some of these guys, then it's not a reptile. If it's not a reptile, it certainly can't be a terrible reptile, can't be a terrible lizard. Some of the things that actually walked on the land, some of the things that flew in the air, some of the ones that swam in the water, they were not, by definition, a dinosaur, because they were not terrible lizards. And it's causing a big uproar within the evolutionist community because they're trying to figure out how are we going to attack this, how are we going to answer this problem, because we've been so conditioned to believe that everything is a dinosaur that they told us was a dinosaur, was a terrible lizard. Well, if it's not a reptile, it can't be a terrible lizard. So they're in disarray as far as how they're going to solve their little issue here. But I love to see it happen.
We'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast, creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.